All right, we're all set.
Okay, thank you. So we'll please stand for the pledge to the flag.
Okay. Pledge allegiance
to the flag
United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty,
with liberty, and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, we can't hear you.
It would be good if I unmuted myself. I'm sorry. Okay, so we have before us the minutes of the May 4th, 2021 meeting. Hopefully you all had an opportunity to take a look at them. And if you have any suggestions for changes or amendments, please do so at this point. Otherwise, I'll accept the motion to approve them as submitted.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. So as I stated when we first started this committee last year, that once a quarter, we're going to try and get each department in to give us an update on how things are going there, what their major projects are at this time. And, you know, we like to give them like 15 minutes at the beginning of our meeting just to give us a high level overview of what they're doing. And so in this month's meeting, we requested Planner Doyle to come in and give us an update on the planning department. So Dennis, if you wouldn't mind giving us a little bit of a brief overview.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, legislators. I have a brief slideshow, hopefully. Well, will you let me share the screen or not?
I think she's trying to say she's doing it because she's on, there she goes.
Can you see that now?
Yes, sir.
You seeing the slideshow?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you. All right. So my thanks to Tim Wiederman. I stole the design for his slideshow. So I'll just run you through it real quick if I can. Hopefully it'll let me page down. Okay. So just a quick thing in terms of what we do. The planning department is involved in a lot of different things, or sometimes we're actually known as the Office of Miscellaneous Affairs. But we do have certain things that we do both under charter and also by assignment from the county executive's office, in some instances on assignment from the legislature itself. The main things that we are involved in is transportation, and I'll discuss each of these in detail. We also are involved in housing, and you've seen some work, our work on open space and agriculture. I think there's resolutions in front of you on agricultural districts and additions. We also have a responsibility under state law to review land use proposals. So it's called the referral process. It's under general municipal law, and that's enshrined in the county's charter as well. And we were assigned, specific duties relative to the county executive or the legislature, and that includes project development and some project management opportunities. The best example of that, I think most of the legislature is familiar with, is that we essentially took the Shokan Rail Trail from an original plan all the way through to final construction and reimbursements. And then under the charter, we also have a responsibility to review and comment on the capital program. The charter also provides that the county legislature or the county executive can ask the director of planning for specific things or opinions. And it also allows the director to form his own opinions and comment to the legislature and the executive on things that he believes or she believes that are important to comment on. Just on the transportation side, the county planning department is a host agency for something called a Metropolitan Planning Organization, or an MPO. We act under that jurisdiction due to the fact that the city of Kingston and surrounding areas have an urbanized population of greater than 50,000 people. The transportation, it's called a transportation council, and it consists of the members of the municipalities, the chief elected officials of all the municipalities. The county executive is the chairman of the transportation council. We get about $450,000 in federal money on an annual basis as a host agency, and use that money to essentially support two full-time staff positions in the office, as well as conduct the necessary studies that are required by a metropolitan planning agency, and working with communities to conduct specific studies relative to things that are of interest to those communities or of concern relative to the overall transportation system in the county. Studies that we have done are in light green here. These are studies that we have completed in the last year and a half to 2 years, including the Walco Valley Rail Trail Opportunity Study, a Village of Ellenville Wayfinding Project, the UCAT Fleet Storage Facility Analysis, a Long Range Transportation Plan Update, and a UND Corridor Trails Facility Study Analysis in the Shandaken area. That's not quite done. We should finish that up by the end of the month. The Walco Valley Rail Trail Opportunity Study looked at a section of the rail trail in the New Paltz area, and looked at safety and other types of improvements that should be done to urbanize that trail. As part of that study in completion, we also have now reached out to the Empire State Trail folks. They have money left over in their budget from the construction of the Empire State Trail, and they will be implementing that project. We are currently undergoing a road safety analysis countywide. We anticipate that study will also be finished up by the end of June, and we have an RFP out for the resiliency of the transportation system. We have interviewed consultants, and we're in the process of making a consultant choice for that. We will be back to the legislature for funding for that study when we make the choice. And we also are looking at and working with the city of Kingston on a rail safety analysis within the city. We've had a number of fatalities within the city. That is both a land use analysis as well as a transportation system analysis, in terms of trying to figure out where trespass is occurring on the railroad, as well as looking at the individual intersections. In the Unified Planning Work Program for the Transportation Council, there are a number of projects that are we're still looking to try to perhaps start by the end of the year. This includes a Route 9W Town of Ulster Congestion Management Study that would be in and around the mall area of the town of Ulster, and also what we're calling a New Paltz Connector Study, and that looks at trying to figure out a way if we can move traffic in and around New Paltz into the thruway without having them go through the intersection at 299 and North and South Putt Corners Road. One of the things that I just talked about was a long-range transportation plan. We're required to update this plan every 5 years. We've just completed this update in September, and we're currently finishing up. We just finished up all of the graphic work necessary for the plan. The plan goes out to 2045, and again, it's updated every 5 years. The document is out on our website if you would like to look at it. But some key findings here is that we program about $64 million in FHWA capital projects on a five-year basis in the TIP, and about $23 million in FTA-related projects on the TIP. We're currently working with the two other counties in the region that are also MPOs that have a unified area. It's called a transportation management area. We're currently working with them on programming about $15 million of FTA funds that we have carried over, so that we can look at additional funding for our transit system. We will be making some recommendations. The three councils have to operate together in this. We'll be making some recommendations on that funding within the next 6 weeks. the idea of looking at where we are right now. The state roads are in pretty decent condition for Ulster County. One of the key takeaways with respect to this is about 56% of Ulster County workforce actually works out of the county. And out of that 56% of that workforce that works out of the county, about 24% of it actually travels to the New York metropolitan area. One of the things that we look for when we program studies is to make sure that they're relevant and can be turned into projects. Over the years, we have done numbers of studies that essentially have turned into projects in a relatively short period of time. And by short, when we say short in the transportation business, it's usually within 10 to 15 years. We've just completed the City of Kingston traffic signal warrant evaluation. And if you look around the City of Kingston, particularly in the uptown area, you'll see that a lot of the traffic signals have been removed or are covered up. We studied 10 of the intersections in the city with respect to traffic signals. None of those intersections met the warrants for signals, and the city moved to implement essentially removing those signals in a very expedited fashion. We've also done a study on the Boyce's Lane rail crossing. It's a county road out there. There are some real hazards associated with that rail crossing out there because of cars backing up on the tracks. We're currently working with the town of Ulster to program funding for that, the funding program to hire a consultant to implement that that project. The state is implementing the project inside the right-of-way, the railroad right-of-way. The town will be implementing the project outside the railroad right-of-way. The City of Kingston I-587 plan we did in 2011. That study resulted in essentially a supporting resolution from the City of Kingston, and that is now the modern roundabout that is currently being constructed at that intersection. We also did a Building a Better Broadway program, a conceptual study for that in 2015. That has resulted in the city essentially moving to construct a two-way cycle track in Broadway, and that's the current construction that you see on Broadway. That study also resulted in the city getting a NYSERDA grant to essentially upgrade all the signals along Broadway on the basis that they would save energy. The success of that grant was tied to the study that was done by the Transportation Council. Everyone knows that we did a non-motorized transportation plan in 2008. That kicked off, I think, a substantial amount of interest in trails and non-motorized transportation, which resulted in a lot of funding that has gone through the council on the council's tip and improvement programs to essentially build rail trails. And then we've done transit integration plans in 2006, 2012, and 2018. The last one in 2018 was successful in the sense that the county has now taken over and implemented a transit integration project with the City of Kingston by basically taking over and running the city's bus system for them. The other thing that we do is we do project development and management. A couple of the projects that we're currently working on or have worked on is the Midtown Linear Park. I'll have to say a little bit more about that later. The Kingston Rail Trail, where we're currently going through right-of-way acquisition work with respect to that rail trail. We're also doing some project management for the Ulster County Veterans Cemetery on Plains Road, proposed for Plains Road. We're now in a recovery of working on essentially making sure that we can recover some Indian artifacts that are down there before we can move forward. We're assisting the emergency management folks in their public safety radio tower. They have three towers that they have to build. We're currently working with them on a proposed tower in the Saugerties area. We've been asked to assist with respect to the relocation of the emergency management and the EOC and the 911 center. And then we've been helping with respect to Tech City for quite a period of time and continue to assist with respect to the Tech City efforts. Midtown Linear Park is under construction, as I said. Really quickly, give you a sense of what's out there. This is an important component, not only with respect to continuity of a rail trail system, but also with respect to the area that it serves. The bids came in under budget. So we have about $450,000 in the capital program that is not assigned at this particular point in time. And we would use those funds to essentially, as we become more certain with respect to what our final costs would be, during the construction project, we would go back to the community and begin to develop the park along Cornell Street in the former yard from the railroad. We have about a third of an acre in there. We're doing a complete restoration of that area. We're pulling out a lot of the contaminated material in there and replacing it, so we'll be able to move back into that yard and do an active look at what park component should be in this area. I would point out that the center of the city of Kingston, the Midtown area, is one of the few areas in the city that doesn't have a park in close proximity to its neighborhood. Housing, the legislature is probably very familiar with our work on housing as it relates to the most recent efforts in terms of the development of the Housing Action Plan. We are now working on some of the implementation efforts associated with that, particularly on the Housing Smart Communities Initiative. We are also working on this with respect to some of our land use responsibilities in terms of reviewing local land use proposals, as well as local zoning statutes and comprehensive plans. We were instrumental in beginning the effort first of identifying Golden Hill as an appropriate site for housing, and then working through the necessary materials that we need to develop in terms of hiring the necessary consultants and the necessary developers for that site. So we wrote the RFP and worked with the county attorney's office in terms of the creation of the Ulster County Housing Development Corporation. We also do a lot of work with community development block grant programs. We have been engaged in housing, either in housing rehabilitation or in home ownership programs with that program since the early 2000s, and have been successful in obtaining a substantial amount of money for housing programs within the county. We've just applied with using RUPCO as a designated recipient, the designated sub-recipient. We've just applied for $1 million of housing funds on the basis of the latest round of funding that became available. Those funds would be used, about $600,000 would be used for housing, home ownership programs, and about $400,000 would be used for housing or rehabilitation programs. We also work in open space and agriculture. We support the Agricultural Farmland Protection Board in terms of its recommendations that need to be made to the legislature for ag district expansions or ag additions, as well as the review of an 8-year review of the districts in Ulster County. There are 4 agricultural districts in Ulster County. Lands in Ulster County, about 77,000 acres of land in Ulster County are in ag districts. We also work with the Farmland Protection Board on some of the policies that they are considering. The Farmland Protection Board just wrote a letter to Ag and Markets concerning the use of ag farmland in Ulster County and statewide for solar development, raising some concerns that a substantial amount of the solar projects that we're seeing in Ulster County, as well as what we're seeing at a statewide level, are actually developing solar facilities on prime farmland, and asking the state to re-examine their policies with respect to this type of development. We also work in open space and acquisition. And just recently we've identified a piece of land that is on the county's tax rolls for foreclosure and auction. As being adjacent to Minnewaska State Park and the Mohonk Preserve, has reached out to the finance department and those individuals to pull that property from the auction and to enter in an agreement to pay the back taxes through the Open Space Institute. Land use and demographics. We have a statutory responsibility to support the Ulster County Planning Board. That is a 33-member board, I'm sorry, a 25-member board that it is responsible to review land use activities within the county that meet certain criteria. The board essentially meets once a month, and we have as many as, last month we had 32 reviews on our agenda Staff has a responsibility to move those reviews to the board. We have completely digitized all of that, are now accept all our referrals in a digital format rather than paper format, and have moved to essentially streamline that process to the extent that we can. The picture in your paper, the picture that you see here is a affordable housing project proposed in the town of Lloyd. We reviewed this last month. It's called Silver Gardens. It exists right off the bridge approach to the Mid-Hudson Bridge. And we gave this project a thumbs up and made a recommendation that the board at the local level approve it. In addition to the demographics piece of this, we've also assisted with respect to the county's complete count program for the census. And we are a census data affiliate and are entitled to census data on a regular basis, even certain data that is blocked from certain other individuals. We can obtain that data. We just have to sign non-disclosure agreements. And we're engaged right now with the legislature, with the reapportionment committee to essentially help them move through the process of reapportionment using that census data when we receive it. And then I stole this slide from Timmy. He had to take full credit for it, but we do have a role in the Green New Deal. Some of these initiatives are moving through the planning process or the planning board, and we do have that role, particularly on the resiliency side of some of the transportation programs that are out there. That's a really quick review that takes you through. The main things that we do. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, I have a lot of questions, Dennis, so I'm going to have to get a hold of you. We'll sit down and have a cup of coffee someday. There was a couple of things in there. So you mentioned the metropolitan areas. So would that be the Newburgh, Poughkeepsie, or what's the third one? Middletown, is that what it is? Which one is it?
Yeah, we have, it's Poughkeepsie and Poughkeepsie and Newburgh is a single metropolitan area represented by two MPOs, Orange County Transportation Council and the Dutchess Transportation Council. Those urbanized areas extend into Lloyd from the Poughkeepsie side and extend up through Plattekill into Marlboro from the Orange County side. And Kingston stands alone as a standalone metropolitan area right now. And that greater area extends all the way up into the Greene County and down through Rosendale. Together, because of the overlapping jurisdictions of the MPOs, together we're something called a TMA, which was a transportation management area. So we represent an urbanized area of over 200,000 people. And because of that, we have some special requirements that exist between both the FHWA and the FTA. So we have a triennial review that we have to participate in. And because we're part of a larger planning region, we end up being it's a lot more difficult in terms of what would normally be a small MPO. Mm-hmm. I would say that there is some concern, and we have provided comments to the Census Bureau with respect to how they are currently thinking about reclassifying or understanding new definitions for what constitutes an urbanized area. There's a lot of detail in here, but the main thing is that Kingston risks, under the new definition, it risks no longer being considered an urbanized area under the new census definitions that may or may not be adopted. What that means is essentially that our current transit system gets about $1.2 million as an urbanized area. If city is no longer an urbanized area, it would significantly impact that funding.
Okay. We'll have to keep an eye on that one then, huh? I mean, do we have any input?
It won't be implemented until 2023, probably. Yeah. The implementations would be in 2023, but yeah. Now is the time to make the comments, and we provided those comments. The Transportation Council provided those comments to the Census Bureau.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions they want to ask Planner Doyle while he's here?
Dennis, right. Very quickly, what does an MPO stand for exactly?
Metropolitan Planning Organization. And that's a federal, it's a federal creation.
Well, Dennis, obviously your office is very busy and you fulfill a great role in the county government and support a lot of different places, a lot of different municipalities and a lot of different projects. I always thought the planning department was one of the busiest departments in the county, and, you know, seeing what you guys actually do day to day there, what you presented to us today, you know, proves that to me. So again, I wanted to say thank you very much for taking some time out of your day and just giving us a high level of what you guys do there. And I know that it's in competent and confident hands with you. You've been there a long time, and appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And I would say that we don't do this without motivated staff and highly professional staff. And they are really the key to this. The amount of work we get done is really the key to the fact that that staff really knows what they're doing and really is motivated to do it.
Thank you again. If there's no questions for Dennis, I'm going to move on to resolutions now. And let's see here. We'll start with resolution 258, which is supporting the findings and recommendations of the 2020 final report and plan completed by the Ulster 2040 Working Group. I'll accept a motion.
Discussion.
Yeah, second. Okay. Any conversation, discussions? About Lynn, go ahead. Yeah, Legislator Archer.
Hi, thanks. You'll have to forgive me. I have very bad allergies right now.
So I'm
having a hard time. Yeah. I guess last we met, we were talking about potentially having a special meeting to focus on this and be able to prepare and ask questions. Is this intended to be that meeting?
No, I didn't.
I guess I was kind of surprised to see the resolution. I knew it was coming, but I thought we were trying to set up a special meeting for this body to kind of air out any concerns, questions we had before it went to the bigger body, you know, as a recommendation coming out of economic.
Yeah. I just don't recall that. I know that we talked about, you know, getting some more answers for it prior to going to the legislature, but a special meeting, I'm sorry, I don't recall that. But if the committee would like to have a special meeting, I'm all for it. We can do that. I mean, this doesn't do anything. You know, it's not going to hold anything up if we decide to do that. Or, I mean, as far as I know, Tim, do you see any reason why we couldn't postpone this a month and take some time and review it with other people in the legislature who are interested in discussing it?
I guess I would just say that our work to implement the recommendations and findings of the Ulster 2040 plan will continue apace, because that's kind of, I think, priority work for us. But I'm always eager to talk more about it. And I see it, I think the group saw it as a living document that would continue to be updated with additional feedback and input.
Yeah, I think it, let me just be clear, because I think that it's an admirable aspiration to have a people-centered, centric economic development plan. And I get what this group was trying to do, but we really have not gone through this, kind of really absorbed it in a conversational way to really have the conversation of how does it get validated? What work have you done? Because it came out of a work group, you know, that used some studies that had been out there. And, you know, it's an admirable effort. I think it would just be helpful. How, you know, was there any economic impact evaluation done on some of the things that were being proposed? You know, did we, you know, was there any analysis on viability of some of these goals? I mean, I get that it's going to shift and change, but we really haven't really had a conversation. We were given a document last month. We had an overview presentation from you, but I think it would be helpful, I know from my perspective, to really kind of dive into it a little bit more and have a little more dialogue around it.
So is there anyone
the only else? One?
Well, I was just going to say, is there anyone else on the committee that would like to discuss this prior to Abe? Go ahead. Legislator Uchitel, thank you.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think this report kind of was either perfectly timed or the most imperfectly timed, because it happened just as COVID was starting to descend upon us. And I admire the group for reacting to that as it was happening and adjusting and actually including COVID in some of the conversation. I think that, you know, I've already cited this, you know, during roll call votes to explain my vote and how, you know, how things fit into the people-centric economy or specific aspects of here. You know, the county has moved forward with some, or has supported at least one fairly significant project that I don't believe is consistent with this at all. And I was very happy to have this report to cite in my vote when I voted against that project. So I think it's something that we should continue using in that way. And I think that its utility is enhanced by having a deep conversation about it. So I'm prepared to move forward with it tonight, but I'm also, if folks want to talk about it more, it's not necessarily a conversation about a report. It's a conversation about our economic future as a county. And I think we should have that conversation as often as we can. So if my colleagues are supportive of a deeper conversation, I would absolutely support that as well. But I would also support moving forward with it tonight.
And I'll add that, you know, there has been no shortage of communication from the economic development team from the executive's office. I've never had an issue with having, you know, any kind of conversation about anything. And they've always been willing to come to this committee and explain and discuss issues. And I firmly believe that that will continue in the future. However, I'm for going forward with it this month, but not excluding it from conversation. I agree with what Abe said. You know, it's something that we should always be talking about. And, you know, quite frankly, I think we always are talking about it, right? Every subject that we talk about is typically related to this document in one way or another, right? To me, you know, these are recommendations, right? And are things that the county should aspire to, right? They're not hard and fast. There's no rules or laws associated with them. So with that, you know, any other question, Legislator Chairman Donaldson, and then Tim, we'll let the legislator speak first. And then, okay, if you don't mind, thank you. Go ahead, Dave, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, this is a, you know, document that is changeable anyway. I mean, right now it's something that we're putting forth a plan, and this is a plan that, you know, it's a broad sort of plan, and I'm ready to move forward with it. I mean, I think if we needed to change it, we can. I mean, it's nothing that you can't. It's not anything that's in here that is like written in stone that you can't move, that you can't make a change to it when we can adapt if we need to adapt to something else that comes up. So, I mean, if people want to, you know, talk about it or, you know, question how it came about, I think there's a massive amount of information on this as they went forward. This, we have always been kept up to date on it. So I think if we can move forward, we can still continue to talk about it and still continue to question. And, this is a living document.
Okay, so any other legislators, Herb, anything? No? Okay, Tim, go ahead. Oh, Jim, did you have something?
Yeah, only that I agree with both you, Abe and Brian. And, you know, this is, you know, I've taken a look at it. It is a very good document. And as you say, it is a living document. So it's something that is malleable. And so, you know, I'm ready to support this, but, I'd love to support Legislator Archer in her request to have a special meeting just to kind of dive deep into this. And if there's something that comes out of that meeting, I'm sure it could be incorporated into the plan. You must be on mute.
Yeah, I'm not. I am not now. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not adverse to that. I'm fine with that. You know, we'll let Dr. Wright, you were actually before Tim, so I'll let you go first and then Tim can go.
I just want to add something, and this may offer a both and approach. Dennis can correct me or supplement what I say, but the language in this resolution, we selected from a couple different options here. So support the recommendations of the plan. It was chosen deliberately as opposed to adopt the plan. Mm-hmm. Dennis has suggested that we come back to the legislature later this year with a resolution to adopt both the Housing Action Plan and the 2040 plan into the county's comprehensive plan. That's a more formal process, as I understand it. And that would give an opportunity to do some deeper discussions on both of them and to make whatever changes need to be made for that process of adopting it into the comprehensive plan. So that's something we could plan on doing.
Okay, thank you. Tim?
I was going to say much the same thing. So I'll just add to that was kind of always the intent in submitting this resolution. I think there's an honest and eager desire to enter into more discussion with you guys about this. Like I feel like we've had a few of them and they've been really productive and helpful. I think the one thing I just make a kind of technical distinction about this Ulster 2040 report as it's represented now is the product of a working group that formed and worked over the course of a year to produce it. And I think what we need to do next, in my opinion, is to support those recommendations and then move forward to another version, a next iteration of the document that incorporates more input from you all. So for what it's worth.
Thank you. Legislator Archer.
Thank you. I can move forward with this just as you are going out and taking kind of going on the road with this and talking to towns, et cetera. I hope that conversation can be had with this group because I think there's a lot of good input from everyone here that can be a value add. So with that intent, I can support moving forward because I know it is a living document as a strategy plan and a lot of details are going to shift and change as information becomes available. As long as we talk about it.
I agree with you. I think that, you know, Tim, if there's one thing that we know about Tim, Tim will talk about it. He will. I promise you that.
Or at least take a call and we could talk his ear off.
right, exactly.
But I listen.
Yeah, he listens well. All right. So then I'm going to call the vote on this. All those in favor of Resolution 258?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. Thank you. Moving on to Resolution 259, which is approving the execution of a contract for $75,000 entered into by the county, Ulster County Economic Development Alliance, Incorporated, and the Department of Economic Development. A motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay, Legislator Uchitel. Anyone have any questions about this? Legislator Archer, Legislator Litz. We'll let Archer, then Litz. Thanks.
As I'm looking at the scope of services, every one of these items, as it relates to the 2040 plan, in my mind, is the responsibility of the Economic Development Department and using the various tools available to make things happen. And this has been an ongoing concern of economic development for as many years as I've been in the legislature, around funding USEDA. And so it's a little, I need to understand better why you don't see this as your role, Tim, as the head of economic development, and why USEDA should be doing these things. In my mind, it's a big question mark in my mind as to then what is the role of economic development at the county level.
Legislator Litz.
Yeah. Well, we just turned Enterprise West over to the EDA. So that is a function that the county is not doing. But my question, Mr. Chairman, is because you and I sit on that committee, is it appropriate for us to vote to fund our own committee?
Yeah, I probably should ask the attorney that, and I didn't. No, we don't have an attorney in this meeting tonight. Legislator Donaldson.
Are either of you making any personal money on that?
I'm not. Not yet, anyway. No, just kidding.
Not that I know of, Dave.
Well, then I don't see it as a conflict unless it's only a conflict if you are personally gaining from it.
Yeah.
If you are a family member or personally gaining from the conflict.
Legislator Archer, go ahead.
Yes, Chairman, if it would be possible to get Mr. Wiedemann to respond to the question I had around the roles and responsibility, because that could help part of this discussion.
That I think that's appropriate. Thank you. Go ahead. Thank you. Tim, if you wouldn't mind, and then John will come back to you. Okay. Thanks.
So I will. I think there's a bunch of ways to approach that question, Legislator Archer, but I think the most salient one is that USITA has the ability to bring other partners and resources to bear to help us to achieve our economic development goals. And I recognize that there's a history here of it, that not being the approach, and that the approach was really to kind of, you know, just almost randomly choose the functions that would get outsourced to USITA, and then that was problematic and didn't work that well. But I think what I would represent to you is that this is a county contribution considered in the resolution here towards the work that's outlined in that scope of work, plus the rest of this Ulster 2040 plan, which we know can't be accomplished solely with taxpayer funds. So USITA provides us with an organizational entity to gather other partnerships, gather other funding to accomplish those goals. There's a lot more I could say, and I think there's a part of this that overlaps with the last discussion, which is about what is really the economic development. What are the goals that we're trying to achieve? What's the right toolbox in order to accomplish these goals? I think Evelyn has said it really well before, that there's different powers and authorities of an LDC that are a part of why we want to make this organization a part of our toolbox. This again could be argued as a funding mechanism to provide it with some resources to do those things that it has special powers and authorities to do. We could have a long discussion about this, but I think the simplest one that comes to mind for me is just that this organization can gather grants, contributions, earned revenue, as well as county taxpayer money in order to pursue our economic development goals.
And Legislator Archer, go ahead.
Then can you break down for me what that $75,000 is for and how it will be used?
So that's the intent in the Schedule A, is to describe in very specific detail, Schedule A or B, I can't remember which it is in the contract, the scope of services.
Yeah, Schedule A. But again, it goes back to a lot of these things I look at as your role and the role of your department, initiating analysis, research to substantiate some of the goals and aspirations of your strategic plan. If it's being relegated to USITA, I'm a little confused then. Again, it goes back to the bigger question is, what is the role of economic development at the county level?
So my only response, because I think I understand your question, and I think the best I can do in explaining is that these are functions that, short of the ability to use USITA to perform these things and to gather resources from other sources to support these efforts, I don't feel confident that they would be within the scope that our four-person staff in economic development could do. So we need this vehicle in order to marshal those other resources to accomplish these tasks.
Right, Legislator, you should tell. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thanks. So, what other resources do you plan on marshaling with these funds?
Partly, it's the partnerships that we can have with the organizations that are mentioned in the Schedule A that will help us to accomplish these things. We also, I think, you guys last month, authorized a public hearing, held a public hearing for our CDBG CARES grant application. And there are other grant applications that we are considering and working on.
Okay, Legislator Archer, sure, go ahead.
Okay, so can you break down for us, what you $75,000, where did you come up with the number and what is it supposed to support? A lot of the resources that USITA has is county and economic development resources. So what is this, what was this money targeted for? We've had this conversation every single year, money came from economic development to USITA around defining what the money is being used for. And we, you know, while I have a broad scope of responsibilities, again, I go back to the fact that we could debate what's the role of your office versus USITA, and it's commingled because you guys are still in there supporting some of this, but you're giving this $75,000. Do you have a plan for what that $75,000 is going to be used for?
I think the Schedule A describes that plan. It describes the projects and initiatives that we would undertake with that funding. I don't know how to answer you more fully.
Maybe you should read Schedule
A. So how did you come up with 75? Was that a number you pulled out of the air, or did you have a very specific set of research, et cetera, that you are looking to do that's going to cost you X number to get you to the 75? Or is that just a number you pulled out?
It's a reasonable estimate of the cost of contracts and services that would accomplish these goals that are outlined in the Schedule A. I don't have a dollar for dollar breakout of every contract that we would have. That would be the next step to pursue if there's funding in place to do that.
Can I answer that question really quick too, Chairman? I believe it was also the number that we put in the 2021 budget, correct, Tim, for this purpose?
That's correct.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Ike.
I just want to, it's maybe restating something that Tim said, but I want to emphasize that a piece of what we really looked at, not so much with the 2040 working group, but internally in our team as we worked with the working group on the four 2040 clusters, was to realize that we have some work to do around clarifying and integrating all of our economic development tools. Tim does a lot of meetings with the executive director of the IDA and with the folks at SBDC and with the folks at the chamber, and has really done a lot of work to at least make sure everybody knows what everybody else is doing. But in a really well-functioning economic development infrastructure, we would all be even more integrated and would be developing strategy together and developing work plans together, mm-hmm. and having a really good understanding of the way each tool serves to implement the shared goals. I think Tim is really getting there with SBDC, especially with the coordination that he's doing. But that's work that we realize is gonna need a couple of years to unfold. I think some of the conversations that we've been having about the role of USITA in the last couple of months have been really helpful. I want to recognize, as Tim did, that the history of USITA has not been that. It hasn't been coherent and strategic and transparent, and we understand that. But the Local Development Corporation is a really unique and important tool in our toolbox for the reasons that Tim said. That's also the reason that we've surplused the Enterprise West property to USITA and entrusted USITA, because it's the property redevelopment tool in the toolbox, if you will. It's the appropriate tool for something like that. Tim talking about making partnerships with other organizations, accepting philanthropic funds, seeking grants, it's important in that role. It's also one of our tools that can do direct aid to businesses and organizations, which the County Economic Development Department can't do. So we're really recognizing that USITA needs its own strategy, its own mission, and understanding that we're building that clarity over time. But the vision that we have is that USITA is really the implementer of the long-term strategy, because it's well-suited to attract and deploy resources in a more flexible and powerful way than the Office of Economic Development can. The Office of Economic Development is really charged with developing those strategies, monitoring those strategies, connecting with all the other tools to make sure we're all pulling in the same direction. It also is doing a lot of the assistance to businesses in negotiating some of the state grants and some of those other processes that it will continue doing. But I think we really have to look at how can we move USITA towards that vision of really being effective at implementing those development strategies. And Tim's really committed to raising the resources, you know, making the processes transparent. That's what we're trying to start with this contract.
Answer Legislator Litz's question about the voting.
Well, let me go to Legislator DeLon first, and then we'll go back to Legislator Archer.
Thank you. So here's how I see it, and that is that I was always concerned about the county as an entity undertaking the development of Enterprise West. And so it's logical that a standalone organization, which is the LDC, I mean, so much so that we ask that employees of the county be removed from the board, right? And I think we're going to vote on putting some new folks on. So we've really made that separation. And so now USITA is kind of flying on its own to undertake this project. And as I understand it, Tim, this is going, you know, the $75,000 that's been requested will help them continue in their operation to undertake Enterprise West. I mean, is that correct?
No, it's not the intent for this $75,000 requested in this contract to be used for Enterprise West. It's really for the other functions that get it, as Evelyn was saying, the implementation of Ulster 2040 more broadly than just Enterprise West. I think the idea with Enterprise West is for it to generate its own revenue through rents, to seek grants and other support to carry that operation.
Okay.
Well, if I may, just to add one thing to that, just to kind of bring.
So I'm going to let the legislators go first, John. I'm sorry. Let us Chairman Donaldson, and then we'll go to you, Lynn, since Chairman Donaldson hasn't spoke yet. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Tim. This is basically a working budget for USITA. Is that correct? Because the problem is they have no working budget, so they have to have something as a working budget from to work on. So I mean. And I think that's one of the problems that we've had with USITA, because they did not have that type of a budget. And so they need to have some separation. And in order to have that separation, they basically have to have some money to spend.
Okay, Legislator Archer, and then John, we'll go to you and Mark if you want to answer the question. Okay, thanks.
So I understand that they're looking to do projects, but what I think and what I hope that we can get to, based on what Dr. Wright was said and what Tim has said, is the reality is USITA needs infrastructure. Right now, the infrastructure is still county resources. We're moving county taxpayer dollars into, and yet it has the biggest asset that we had that we just signed over, which is Tech City. So to say they have no working capital, they have the largest piece of property that this county had. They can have, if they're serious about the kind of structure you're all talking about, then they should be setting up infrastructure there using the capital on the property to establish the kind of funds we're talking about. I mean, we're handing over taxpayer money. We've already handed over the taxpayer's biggest asset and potentially liability as well. I'm just saying, you know, again, I go back and I know you keep saying that this is what UCITA can do. And I recognize there are certain things UCITA can do that as a government office or a government department, you're not able to do. But again, we've not fully defined all those things. If I go through the scope of services, I could point to a lot of them that I would say are the responsibility of economic development, not UCITA. You know, where does setting strategy at the county level and execution occur, whether it's UCITA, IDA, or what have you? I mean, again, we're being asked to kind of flush all this out or make decisions of moving taxpayer money. And I know it's 75, but it's the principle. This is the last time we tried to get to this issue. We just zeroed out the amount. I don't want to do that. I want a meaningful conversation to understand roles and responsibility and why we feel the need to move $75,000 of taxpayer money there. And again, it's to define, you had to have a sense of what type of research or analysis that you were looking to contract out or services to contract out to support the $75,000 ticket. If not, then again, we're at the stage of just moving money. And again, they've got the biggest asset the county has. They can draw money down off of that. If they're going to be a working body, a working UCITA, where people, then they maybe need an executive director, they need infrastructure, and they need support resources. And right now it's all county employees. So it just begs the question in my mind.
Go ahead, John, sorry.
Okay. Just quickly, I want to briefly address Legislator DeLon's point on UCITA. It's just to clarify, the intent isn't to completely sever UCITA's operations from Tech City. I mean, if they are required to seek or solicit philanthropic funds for Tech City or to create a partnership between themselves and some other entity on Tech City, but that would be part of UCITA's operations. So it's not completely separate, but the funding, as Tim said, is not for Tech City.
No, I guess my point was to separate it from the county as a standalone organization that would go out and seek funding, seek partnerships if necessary or if available, but make that separation between county government and this nonprofit standalone LDC, who's going to undertake the redevelopment of this project.
Legislator Litz, go ahead. Thank you.
We didn't just create the EDA. It's been around for years. And Tech City is just the latest project. The Ellenville Million Revolving Fund, all of those things get administered through EDA. So I don't understand why we're having this conversation. It's a budgeted item. It was in the budget. It was voted on by the legislature. I mean, if we wanted to worry about the $75,000, we should have done it before we passed the budget. And Mr. Chairman, I request we call the question.
We'll honor that request. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, so we have one opposed, Legislator Archer. We'll move on to resolution number 260, which is authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to extend an intermunicipal agreement with the town of New Paltz to provide public transit service to the New Paltz area, the New Paltz Loop, Department of Public Transportation, Ulster County area.
I'm moving.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Herb, okay. Jim will, because he's New Paltz. Sorry, Herb. We're going to let Jim second this one.
Thank you.
Any discussion on this one? This is a vital tool out there. I understand that. And it's pretty well used, isn't it, Director Ahmed?
I just checked the numbers before this meeting, and we're slowly but surely coming back to our numbers pre-pandemic system-wide. Obviously, New Paltz Loop is used by the student population, and this year they were at a reduced number because of the pandemic, and they also made an exception that the first-year students were allowed to bring cars on campus, but our expectation and the numbers that we're seeing system-wide is that we're going to hopefully return to close to normal, or at least 75% of where we were, hopefully by the end of the year. So it is used a lot.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Legislator Uchitel, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that I wholeheartedly supported this agreement when I was executive vice president of the Student Association in 2009, and I still support it today.
Yeah, I was on the legislature back then. I remember when we did this. It was great. Legislator Zimmet brought it up, and it was a little bit of a struggle, but we did get it going.
All right. Yeah, we were very grateful. I can tell you, the students, we were very, very grateful.
Yeah. Okay, any further discussion? If not, I'll call a vote. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No, thank you very much. 261, which is the approving the execution of a contract amendment for $48,600, causing the aggregate contract plus the amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into the county by Bishop Peak Technology Incorporated for UCAT.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion or questions? Okay, I'll call a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, great. Thank you. 262 is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $246,414 entered into by the county for National Business Equipment LLC for information services.
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? I have a quick question. Alan, could you explain what this is? It's a pretty big contract there for National Business Equipment.
Sure. Can you hear me? Okay. Yes. So this is, we're extending, well, if you just rewind about 6 or 8 months, we renegotiated an extension to the contract at a lower rate due to some of our usage. Due to folks being working remotely, we ended up revising the contract, extending it to 2022. And this is a final extension, again, at a lower rate. That will be the end of this contract, and we're expecting to put an RFP out as soon as we can for multifunction printing throughout Ulster County based on some of these new performance metrics. We'll have to get that out the door as quickly as possible. We're working with purchasing for this new RFP. So,
great. Go ahead, Mark, go ahead. Yeah,
through COVID, the goal was to have an RFP out this time. Right. Through COVID, having vendors walk through all their departments and see where all the printers are and everything, it just didn't make sense. So we wanted the RFP this year, but this is one last extension.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts that made it really challenging to pull it off with all the other things that we were doing at the time. So,
any other discussion? Okay, then I'll call a vote. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, so we'll move on to the final resolution, which is resolution number 263, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $287,002.44 entered into the county by Tyler Technologies, and that's for IS as well. So we'll give us the move for discussion, Legislator Donaldson, second, Legislator Litz. Okay, Alan, real high level overview of this guy. I know we've seen it before.
Sure. Yeah. So this is a contract extension for the New World Public Safety System. We're expecting a slight decrease, even though, although it's an increase, we're still looking at a slight decrease due to some unused modules that we've had unused in the past. So, but again, basically, this is a contract extension with a slight increase, just year over or whatever at the end of the for each period. So that's what that is.
Okay. Anyone have any other questions or discussion on this one? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. That's the end of our resolutions. Is there any old business that anyone would like to discuss before we wrap up here? Legislator Donaldson?
Yes, I was wondering if people had any plans or plan to put in something for the American Rescue Plan. I'm hoping that, you know, I know I met with the last committee, legislative programs, and there are a couple proposals that's going to be brought forth by them. And I'm not sure if the economic development of anybody here is also looking at that, because we want to have that in by June 18th. So we can, you know, start, you know, analyzing all the data.
So I know that we brought it up in our last meeting, and I think we all, I won't speak for anyone else but myself, but, you know, some of the discussions that I know that I had brought up in our caucus meeting, Dave, and I think they were incorporated in that. They didn't really have much to do with economic development, but I think Legislator Litz talked a little bit about, you know, concentrating on doing some of the things with infrastructure that we couldn't do, you know, normally. And I think that if we look at it, I think, you know, certainly Wi-Fi is considered infrastructure these days, right? And that may be an area where we may want to see if we can put some investment. And I'm sure that has come up from other people, including the executive's office, right? Okay, Legislator DeJuan.
Yeah, I remember having that conversation, and I too would be very supportive of getting some, you know, going along with Legislator Litz. And I believe I also brought up funding having to do with the trail system and seeing if we could, you know, make some connections there. But I don't have numbers at this point, and I'll continue to work on that.
Thank you. So anyone else have anything else they want to bring up? Okay. So then I guess at this point, any new business that was old business. So any new business? Sorry.
I didn't hear any old business, and I didn't know we were going to have new business.
All right. So then I will accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. Second. Thank you, Legislator Uchitel. And I appreciate everyone taking their time out of their busy schedule to come to these meetings and have these lively discussions. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Be safe, stay healthy, take care.
All right.
Thanks, bye-bye. Everyone. Have a good night.
Bye.